Very excellent. We, Brother Don, found a piece of significant piece of page number one from a hymnal, and so there was an inquest as to which hymnal it was, and it has been found. So that's good, especially since we're singing hymn number one today. So that would have been a little bit of a trouble for somebody. So thank you for finding that. So was it in that area over there? Or? Okay, to protect the guilt of the innocent. Oh, okay. All righty, very good. All right, anyone else? Prayer or praise? So, yes, Jenny. Okay. All right, we'll be praying for Jimmy for neck surgery on Monday. So the Lord will supervene in that. And we're praying the Lord will use all these things to bring him to salvation. So that'll be our ultimate prayer. So very good. Yes, sir. Doug.
Never been baptized. I said, baptized in a horse tank, that would be a lot better than having a priest just sprinkle something in the forehead.
Wow.
You guys have that testament. We had a good day.
Oh, that's really neat. That is neat. That's Trent Murphy. Connor. Okay. All right. So, and that is that's the son? Brother. Okay, brother. Trent's brother. All right. Pray for ongoing relationship there to salvation. So that's exciting. So, yes, Ernie. Unspoken. All right. I'm sure there are others who have some burdens that the Lord knows, and we'll lift them up to him. So it's good. Yes, Jim? Okay. That is. I'm glad to hear that. So Jan, praising the Lord. She's had a neighbor that has had double pneumonia, and she's been looking, doing well. So that's, the Lord's raised her up. So very good. Yes, Andrew? Amen. That's always exciting. See those positive reports. That's the Lord's mercy, Lord's goodness. All right. Yes. See? Okay. All right. So we're going to pray for Sierra's brother-in-law and the kids here today, too. Nothing. Okay. Okay, so it could be something pretty serious. So we'll pray for his appointment tomorrow with the neurologist. Okay, anyone else? Add to these. All right, we'll start Charlotte and we'll work our way back. Yes. Well, amen. That is good. All right, Charlotte, praising the Lord for a good week and car back moving again. So, yes.
And I just found out about it.
Okay. Oh.
It's affected her dad and the school. And
oh, wow. Wow. Okay. All right. So let's pray for Martha's granddaughter, Kaylee. still suffering effects from a car accident and having repercussions there. So Lord, pray the Lord will bring healing and restoration to her. So we do that. Yes, sir. Oh, all right. We'll pray for Sandy. And that has been a kind of a refrain here. A sickness is still going around. And so thanks for letting us know. We'll pray that God raises her up. Yes, Karen. Okay. Amen. That is neat. It's neat to look back and see what God does in our lives and how he works. So praise the Lord for that. We'll be praying for Tim as he travels and praising the Lord for what a year might bring forth and what the Lord can do. So, very good. Yes. Oh, okay. Also another unspoken for Angela. And pray for our... everything go well with, we have a baptismal service at the jail, and I will announce that again on this afternoon, but they did, on Friday, they restricted that to 15 people, so we haven't necessarily taken, so we're kind of at the, I don't know, we're in this really limbo area where I say we're restricted to 15 people, and we're probably going to have like 7 show up. Okay. So I would love for us to have 15 people. And so, but anybody that's, we're going to start probably, if you have some ministry in the jail, encourage you to come and be a part of that and make yourself a part of that 15. But I know there's quite a few that were planning to be there as a larger church gathering, and that just probably won't work out this time. But it's not that they're not for it in the future, but just... want to make sure that it goes well, and this is the first time they've done that, and so they're going to be there, and they're planning on taking pictures, last time I heard, so they actually want to communicate this to the other jails in the area and say, this can be done. You can have baptisms in your jail. So just praying that it'll be a testimony. Luke Demko is going to be there, and he says, I'm a believer. But what he means by that, I think, is a little different than what we mean by that. And so he's a Catholic. And so I'm just praying that the Lord will help make the truth, even to some of these guards that are going to be there to see it. And these, what's really neat is to see talking to the guards about these inmates. And they say, oh, they're totally different. And so that is a real encouragement. And yet at the same time, these men bear the name of Christ before these men's eyes. And this baptism is going to make that very public. So just pray for them. It's Tim and Nick and Ryan today. And so these are, I'm excited for them. Pray that it will be obviously a milestone in their lives and something that they'll look back on for years and years to come. So, all right. Anyone else? I'll share a praise. We had a blessing of going to a Gideon meeting up in Blue Mound yesterday, some of the men here, and that was a tremendous encouragement. Just shared some stories of salvation, of God using his word to reach people. And it was just really neat to see all across the globe how God is on the move. And beyond what we can see, I mean, God's on the work here, and we hardly see it because it takes faith. He likes to work in such a way that requires us to believe him and trust him. And then we see it break forth and we go, oh, and it shocks us. And yet the Lord's doing that all across the world. And Satan cannot stand against the gates of hell, cannot withstand the onslaught of our Lord Jesus and his victory. So it's encouraging. All right, anyone else? Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. That's a good heart in that. And we'll pray for your coworker that he'll be able to keep his job long enough to get saved. And he is in need of deliverance. Sounds very much so. So we'll pray for his salvation. So. All right. Yes. Andrew. Amen. It was. It was neat to hear that. And young people had a good time up at the ice skating rink in Kansas City. And thank you guys for helping with that and leading in that. It was a good time. The Lord gave them safety on the way back. And praise the Lord for someone giving anonymous gift to help the teens. So it's good. All right. Anyone else? Okay. And unspoken? All right. We'll add. Okay. All right. Oh, yes. Go ahead, Sam. All right. Very good. I think probably all of us could say, I've got an unspoken. That's not to diminish in terms of that, but there is an element that I think this is a testament that we often carry burdens that are things that we want God to do something about. We're begging Him for something. And just a confirmation in my heart for the message today. So, and I hopefully that will, Lord will direct us in our hearts by His Spirit through His Word today. So, begin. All right. Anyone else? Oh, yes, Carrie. Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. But God has answered prayer. Restoration there. So something very beautiful. And God brings joy. Brings joy. And it's going to talk a little bit about that tonight in terms of our message. In whom you have not seen, yet ye love. Though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And just thinking about the joy that springs out of love. There's something, when you discover love, and it's reciprocated to you, and you see it in someone else's life, so something to praise God about and make you rejoice. And yet, the truth of God's word is that God loves us. That's an incredible truth that can cause us to be rejoicing all the time. May God help us to do that. All right. Very good. Appreciate those sharing here. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and take our Bibles. You know, it's a little bit of a longer read, but it's a good passage of Scripture. We'll read Romans 15. You buy me a little bit more time. Okay, we are looking at just a reminder, and hopefully as you read through those words, your mind is going through this in verse 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, just the whole purpose of why Christ came is for the glory of God. And that was the mission, the purpose, so that nations might be brought into the fold and to praise and glorify Him. And so when the gospel goes forth, God is going to work to accomplish this very purpose for why Jesus Christ died. And this is supported by four different quotations from Scripture, and two of them from Psalms, one is from Deuteronomy, and the other one is from Isaiah. It's interesting, when in Luke 24, I think it is, he says that he went, anyway, it's one of the clear places that helps us know how the Jews divided the Scripture. They divided it into Pentateuch, Psalms, and prophets. And so it's not just that he quotes four different times, but he's actually quoting from each portion of the Old Testament scriptures. And so that to me is kind of interesting, where I think that is lets us know that this is just, I'm going to take a verse from here, I'm going to take a couple verses from here, and I'm just going to dip into this larger ultimate theme and show how this is brought to pass. So then we come to this verse in verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we talked about hope last time, and that was kind of our focus. Anybody want to summarize a little bit or give a definition, at least the thing that's sticking in your mind as a definition of hope? Maybe it's something you remember from last time, or maybe it's something you've been taught a long time ago, but what is hope to you? Yeah, all right, very good. I think that's what we talked about last time, expecting something better. And I like to throw in that word better because it helps you understand it is a confident expectation, but if we say expectation, of course, a lot of times if someone's expecting, oh, I've got this gift, oh man, I can't wait to open it, we already understand the expectation is something good. But if you're expecting something bad, you know, it just that we can use that word in that way. But hope is never used for a confident expectation of disaster. We call that doom. We don't call that hope. And so this is something that's really beautiful here. And when we have hope, we can be filled with joy and peace. And so that our life can, there's a lot of things that would disturb that and make us anxious. But when we get our eyes focused on what is our hope, then the waves go still. And there's a lot of things that would keep us in the dumps and make us downcast, and just living life can accomplish that. But if we can get our eyes on our hope, we can have a supernatural joy. And so that's what he's talking about here. That's what we're going to kind of emphasize even this evening. So I'm not going to try to work on nailing that down too much. But we left off with this phrase, he's going to fill you with hope, but it's in this way, in believing. So many times we recognize, boy, I lack peace. Oh boy, I lack joy. Well, what we lack is faith, because faith is what is going to cause us to have the joy and have the peace. Those become natural. You cannot pursue joy and peace. Those are just natural outworkings of what we are focusing on in our minds. And ultimately here, faith is what we have to pursue. What is true about my God? Because faith only can stand on what's true. And so there's an element here that it's not about faith. The world talks about faith. Just believe, and it'll happen. The power of positive thinking. You know, just this kind of make-believe, wishy-washy, I'll just endeavor to have something. That's not what the Bible is talking about. It's talking about finding something that's true and hanging on and saying, this is what God has said. Faith always carries a Bible verse. It's always got something that's true about our God. And that's why when he says hope, you're going to be abound in hope Because it's the God of hope that fills you with hope and joy and peace. And so we have to get our eyes off the storm and on the eyes of the Savior. And that story is so picturesque in terms of the waves and the wind, because that is life, and that's exactly how we can walk on the water above and beyond what's going on around us, is that we do not take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, who He is. And that's not that's a cliche, but in terms of our lives that we live, what that means is that I have to diligently say, what am I thinking about? What is my mind focusing on? What's on the reel, the highlight reel that's just going over and over and over? And you know what can happen? It can be that problem. And we pause these messages for an interruption of problem. We think about that. And then we come and go on life, think about that problem. And we're just constantly allowing the problem and say, I've got, and that's life. That's just living. That's we're humans. But we have to, as Christians, say, I'm going to respond to this with diligent focus on God's Word. What is true about my God? He is faithful. He is in control. He loves me. And so these truths can stabilize our lives. There is a real strong connection between faith and hope. And it's even found, it's actually in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. It's interesting, it's got several concepts you'll hear that match up exactly with this context. He says, "For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." So we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So again, it's the means of faith that undergirds hope. Faith and hope come together in a pair. I'll share with you another verse of Scripture, then we'll kind of talk about the relationship. 1 Peter 1:21, "Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that," this is the purpose of why God did all this, "that your faith and hope might be in God." So faith has to, hope has to have a foundation. Why do you expect that there's going to be anything better in your life? Why? You got to have I just hope it does. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you have a confident expectation that's going to be, because I believe God and I have faith in Him and what He has said. So faith becomes like the foundation. Hope becomes kind of like the glisten and the shine. You know, faith is something that is, not that it doesn't have this element, but hope kind of has this little diamond glisten off of it. It's just kind of a glimmer of like, ooh, I hope. It's coming. It's good. And the Lord can give us that joyfulness that comes from hoping. And again, it should be pointed out here in conclusion to this verse that it's all through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that fills you. It's by His power that you can abound. So we're talking about a supernatural joy, a supernatural peace that we seek from the Lord, saying, Father, please help me to have this kind of joy in my life. Because this kind of joy and this kind of peace in the midst of difficulty is a testimony to the Lord and who He is. The world does not have this. So and I guess let's put it this way, kind of going back into 1 Peter type sermons here, if you've got a big ship and you've got a bunch of little rickety ships and they're all on the water together, and in a nice, calm, still day, they all float and they're all going great. But one is got the flagship of the Lord, and all the others of these little rickety ships have got the flagship of the world and Satan and this type of thing. And so what can the Lord do to cause there to be a difference for those ships? He can bring a storm. And now within the storm, all the little ships are capsizing. All their flags are going down. They can't handle it. But the ship that's has the divine buoyment of the Lord is able to ride through the storm and continues on. It's the storm that demonstrates the value of faith and who God is. We say, oh Lord, please keep me out of the storm. But if we want the flag of the Lord to fly high and strong in our lives, many times it's the very things that we don't want to happen in our lives that cause other people to take notice of what the Lord has done. And we can bring great glory to Him that this was not man-made peace. This was not man-inspired joy. This is divine. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Brother Don, he sent me a text after this. He said, hey, I saw this connection over in verse 17 of chapter 14. I'm thinking, that's great. That's the kind of connection we want to look at. Look at verse 17 of chapter 14 in Romans. He says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. See that connection? I think that's worthy of a cross-reference right there, if it's not in your Bible already, to write down 14:15 beside this and say, here's this connection. This is what the rule of God looks like in a person's life. This is what God truly values. He said, meat and drink, that's not the kingdom of God. That's not what truly matters. But the evidence of a relationship with God, believing Him and trusting Him so that we have joy and peace and submit to His rulership, that's what God cares about. All right, so that's really encouraging. And now I want to just bring you back to this question here on faith and just kind of tie this all together if we can. Believing what? Now, the answer to faith is always believing God's word. But I'm going to ask the question, what word? What word do you think He's talking about? There's some good contextual answers for this. I've got three in front of me, so you've got a good chance of hitting one. So we're looking at believing the word, the Old Testament word. That's good. It's very good. So that goes all the way back to verse 3 and verse 4, as it is written. And that's a good... I think that what's kind of... That's not exactly the one that's on here on my list, but in terms of... I think that's a good answer. And the element goes back to... I think that means we can apply verse 13 all the way back to the receiving of one another. That really we can have joy and peace in believing God, that if I will trust Him and sacrifice myself, live not to please myself, but to please others, that this truly will bring glory to God, just like it did for Jesus Christ. All right, very good. Anyone else want to throw one?
Verse 12 is talking about Jesus Christ.
Okay, all right, that's my third answer. So, good. That's hitting the nail on the head, so to speak. So, I'm going to hold off on that one for a second. Good, excellent. We're going to come back to that. Yes. Okay, Jesus. All right, good. So I think we're going to be in the right ballpark. But we could say, let's just say believing the gospel. If you believe the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, your life will be filled with joy and peace in the God of hope. Would you say that's true? I'd say absolutely that's true. What if we said, let's go beyond just the truth of the gospel. What about the truth in the book of Romans that He's been telling to us about how that Jesus Christ, and it really is in terms of the gospel, but these truths of no separation, no condemnation, things, the climax coming in Romans chapter 8. If we believe those truths, how about Romans 8:28? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. If we believe that, will it fill you with joy and peace in believing? And those scriptures will be like buoys in terms of the waves. You'll just be floating along because you have a supernatural guidance. Do you say that's true? Amen. But I think specifically what He's talking about, and I don't want us to, it's a general, beautiful verse that can be applied across the spectrum in any way that we need to. But for this verse, in this context, what He means is that you and I can believe in the Scripture that says Jesus Christ died to bring glory to the Father. And that when you and I go out in missions and evangelism, we can expect the power of God, confident expectation that God's word will be used to bring glory to the Son. People will be saved because God wants from all people and nations and tongues to glorify Him. And the Gentiles will come and trust in Him. That's the word. And if you and I will believe that, you and I will go out on evangelistic efforts with joy and peace. Do you know how I go out on evangelistic? Doubt and anxiety. Nope, they're not home. Keep on going. You say, no, you're the pastor. You're making this up. I can get used to it. I can get used to doubt and anxiety and keep on doing it, but I don't think my nature has ever changed from when I was a teenager till what I'm now. Sometimes you say, you still feel like a kid in your head? Yeah. Still feel like a kid in my head. There's an element that says fear can be one of those things. Say, oh, I don't know if I... But you know what we need? We need to believe God. That there are promises that God has given to us that would fill us with joy and peace, that we could go out with hope when we give the gospel. Does that mean that people are going to automatically, if I just come with a hope mentality in the Lord, that they're not going to shut the door in my face? No. But I will keep on believing and keep on trusting, saying, you know what? It's against faith. It looks... There's a lot of rejection here, but I don't know how God's going to use it. And I still trust Him. We call that faith. And you go out in faith and you believe the Lord and you trust Him. And God, it's going to be a wonderful day someday. I think it's going to be like It's a Wonderful Life. Opening up the doors and saying, hey, let's look back through and see all the things that you thought you had no idea for what God did. And that brings tears to my eyes to think about the reality of what that will be for us in God using us. All right. We have... I'm going to do something stunning. I'm closing us down 5 minutes early, all right? Instead of waiting into the next verse and getting started, but let me just tell you, you can be dismissed. You deserve a little extra fellowship. 5 minutes on the front end, 5 minutes on the back end. We'll jump into verse 14. It really is interesting to see how much the Apostle Paul is confident in the faith and what God is doing in the life of these believers whom he's never met.